It is with a great, it's a great honor for me to say these words. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Skilling.
Woo!
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great honor to be on the Steve Cochran Show. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine, and I'm calling you for two reasons. I'm calling you because I'm your friend, and I'm calling to tell you, if this hasn't sunk in yet to your meteorological head, what you did yesterday was so great and so moving. And I'm not hurting anybody, Tom. I'm minding my own business. And my daughter goes, you got to see the Tom Skilling clip. I look at the clip. You had me crying. You had everybody moved to tears because you saw something you'd never seen before. You were so moved about it. It was an incredibly natural response. I don't want you to feel awkward about that for a second.
Oh, that's nice of you, Steve. You know what? I'll tell you, it's the last response I expected. Although, you know, it's interesting, Steve. I had read this section that the New York Times did, and they had a writer in there, Heather McDonald, who was talking about her first experiences with a total solar eclipse. And understand, yesterday, Steve, we were surrounded by these hundreds of people, all of them, you know, really up for this whole event and all the rest. But Heather McDonald made the comment that first she thought this was something she should see all by herself, and having never seen one before, and she was surprised at that she broke down and started sobbing and fell to her knees. And, you know, you read that at first and you think, oh, what a crazy response. I don't know. But, you know, Steve, I'll tell you, there's something absolutely cosmic about the whole thing. You know, I've always thought the astronauts, NASA should have set up a poet up with the astronauts instead of just engineers to talk about what they saw, because I would think, looking at our planet from, you know, from the moon, for instance, would be a similar experience. But, Steve, it was amazing. You know, the whole thing starts about 11:52, this partial eclipse. And for about, you know, an hour, 10 minutes, it proceeds, and it's getting a little darker. The shadows are focusing. There are fascinating changes. And then in that last 5 minutes before totality, and where we were, we're 10 miles south of Carbondale. That's where I'm right now. In Carbondale, this was the maximum totality of anywhere in the country, and we kept our fingers crossed that the weather would be okay. It's cloudy right now. It was cloudy the day before in the afternoon, so the whole thing was meant to work out, I guess.
Tom, it was partly cloudy here when we were watching it, and watching your reports, and you were describing everything, and the temperature dropping, and it's getting dark, and the people behind you with the Chicago flag, and then we stepped outside, put the glasses on, and said, it's here, and everybody on the block was out there. It was such a coming-together moment for everybody.
It was. You know something, Andrea? You hit the nail on the head. You know, in this world, you hear Steve talking about you know, our wars and all the rest. I mean, what we've gone through as a people together has been pretty trying. And there was something about this whole event that was unifying. Everybody was there for the same reason. Everybody was up. We met the most lovely people down here. The people down in the Carbondale area are just wonderful anyway. But
I love the guy that came up behind you and thanked you and said, hey, thanks, Tom, you did it.
You know, Steve, it's like when I'm thanked for a nice day or something like that, and I have nothing to do with it, you know? And I always feel a little bit guilty about that. But, yeah, people were saying thank you, and I thought I didn't do anything, you know?
Well, it's really cool to have somebody who is, you know, of the highest order of science and understands weather and understands nature at a level none of us do and communicates it so well to the rest of us. To see what it meant to you to be there. Because to me, I don't know if you guys felt this way, but sometimes you need to be reminded how small you are.
But there's
sort of a joy in that because you realize how lucky you are to be here at a time like that and how blessed we are to be able to experience all that together.
It really is. Steve, you hit the nail on the head on this one. That's exactly what it is. I mean, this is bigger than all of us. And it really kind of puts your, you know, whole existence in this universe into some kind of strange perspective, and probably a more correct perspective. But it was, what a stunning event. If you ever have a chance to do this, I had never seen that totality during a solar eclipse. And this is something. There's a science writer who says we ought to make it a holiday so everybody can go out and, you know, check it out.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Maureen has decided she and Abigail have a date in 7 years to see the next one. Now, here's my question. I brought this up to John DeCoste this morning. The last total eclipse that we saw it was 1979. The next one's in 7 years. I would think the gaps in time wouldn't change that much. How come the next one's so much sooner?
You know what, Steve? I'm not an astronomer, and I don't purport
to pretend you are. We'll believe whatever you say.
I don't. Let me give you a stat, Steve, that in researching this, I think is absolutely amazing. Solar eclipses occur on the planet with some frequency. Oftentimes, though, 70% of the planet is water, so none of us see them. And you know, the last time the full United States had a total solar eclipse cross, it was 99 years ago. But here's a stat that I found really revealing, and that is, at any given spot on Earth, you're going to see a total solar eclipse only once every 360 years.
How about that?
And I thought that put it really in perspective. A given spot on Earth will only see a total solar eclipse, what we saw yesterday, and it only lasts 2 minutes and 40.3 seconds. You know what else I thought was interesting? We have been up at SIU, Southern Illinois University, where they had the stadium full, and they had NASA people there, Adler Planetarium people there. They put on quite a show. We decided we wanted to go out to this campground. Pam Grimes, my producer, in her wisdom, set up this campground and found out about it. That was the perfect place to be, to watch real human beings react in an uncrowded situation, although that campground was packed.
Well, the joy of everybody clapping and screaming and stomping and cheering. You know, it was like when the Blackhawks won the last cup.
Exactly. It's kind of a cathartic moment. And I think in this complicated world today, we need some cathartic.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Last word from John DeCoste.
Oh, Tom, and I was just curious, and I know you've been inundated with a jillion questions about this, and I'm just going to ask it. So what did they charge to swim at that lake?
Do you know? I don't know. We went in there, and do you know something? I found out about that lake out there. That was built during the CCC period. The
Civilian Conservation Corps. Yeah, my dad was a part of that.
Absolutely. I mean, that was amazing. It was a Roosevelt program during the
Great Depression.
The Great Depression. It was one of the moves made to try and somehow pull us out of that horrible depression we were having. And this is one of the projects, as there are many examples in our national parks across the country.
They dug a lake. What's the lake called? Do we know?
Well, they dammed it up. It's a little grassy campground next to a little grassy lake. I think I'm correct in that.
And,
and we went out on a pontoon boat with a fellow who runs it. He had been an environmental science professor down here at SIU for 30 years, and now in retirement he runs this. It's actually leased by the park or by the federal government because it's a national forest preserve. But this area down here is beautiful.
Yeah, you got to get some people. I haven't been down in a couple of years, but you got to get to Southern Illinois. It's a completely different world.
It is. It's just gorgeous. I'll tell you one thing though: unforgivably hot. Oh, I was wearing the wrong things.
Well, the weird thing is, and I guess it's not weird, but as soon as the eclipse ended, even up here where we certainly didn't have anything close to totality, the furnace turned on. The temperature was probably not that dramatically warmer, but the humidity kicked. It was crazy.
It was. It was noticeably cooler, Steve, in the as soon as the partial eclipse started, and thank heavens. I think we had a heat index down here of 105 yesterday. The dew point was 80 degrees.
Yeah, there you go.
This is like the Amazon River Valley. My crew and I were saying we were drenched the whole time, and we were all saying, I don't think we've ever worked a hotter assignment that we can remember.
We're blessed to have you cover it for us, and I thank you for jumping on this morning. And your honesty, your honesty about your feelings was great. We really appreciate that, too.
Thank you, Steve. I'm sorry I didn't get to you yesterday.
No need to apologize. I blame anything that doesn't work out on the show in a timely manner. I just blame other people. You know, that's how I roll.
It's something we all ought to follow.
All the light. See you, Tom. That's the great Tom Skilling.